Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call up with BlueChew.com and the code FIFO. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew. And the code FIGHTFUL helps to give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing. And right now, you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top, if you know what I mean. Memorable performance. High spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
All right, no better way to intro the show tonight. Welcome in to the FIGHTFUL YouTube channel for the AEW Collision post show here on March 15th. Man, this year's flying by. Rick Uchino, Iridian Fiera, and Cresta the Star. Ladies, it's good to see you again. How are we doing tonight?
Doing fantastic, Rick. How are you doing?
Oh, I am here, and I am ready to talk about this 2 hours of sicko wrestling that we got to watch tonight, Cresta.
Yeah, I had a good time, and I'm doing well. How are you, Iridian? How are you, Rick? And it's been a while. I feel like since the three, weren't we together last week?
No, because there was a
yeah.
Oh, I wasn't here either. Hi, guys.
I was going to say, well, wait a minute. No, because the pay-per-view was on Sunday. What did we do last week?
What did we do Saturday? Did we have something Saturday? Was I here?
Wait, We were here. It was a two-woman power trip, and we did the Unk Off, and we were trying to figure out who would be the Unk Battle Royale.
Unk Off. Oh. How could I forget? Oh, my God. It's been a long week for me, guys.
Yeah, it's coming back. I took the night off because I just needed a break.
It was a longer week for you.
I had worked like 15 days straight, and I was fried. So I'm like, no, I'm not staying up until 11 o'clock to do the show this week. I just could not do it.
Well, we're going to see what happens with us next week when we got a Saturday collision and a Sunday collision.
At 11 p.m. Eastern, I think not.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see what Sean says in the DMs.
Yeah. So if you missed the announcement, it happened right at the top of the show tonight. They are doing Slam Dunk Collision. Saturday and Sunday night next week because of the NCAA tournament, which means, by the way, those shows, they'll say 11 o'clock at night. They ain't starting at 11 o'clock at night. Anybody who has watched the NCAA tournament knows if that last game, even if all the other preceding games ran on time, if that last game is running late, forget it. The last 30 seconds will take 15 minutes to clear. Ain't no way they are running that show at 11 o'clock at night. Now, they didn't say how long each of these shows were because they're doing a Saturday and a Sunday. I can only assume they're going to be an hour apiece.
10 minutes.
We should be so lucky if they're an hour apiece.
It'll be one match, a John Moxley match at an hour.
Both nights.
Both nights.
Nothing like a late night John Moxley match to keep the crowd fired up and ready to go. Yeah, now I do like the idea of doing this because you know you're going to get a hell of a lead in from that. But damn, that's going to be late. Like I can tell you right now, Iridian, you know this, as an early morning radio person, ain't no way in hell I'm going to be here on a Sunday night, which will be a Monday morning to do the recap when I got to get up for work at 4 a.m. I won't be here Sunday. I know that much.
It's crazy. You know, when they were like Saturday, I was like, okay, we've done it before. We've done a late show.
Sure. Cool. Yeah.
And then Sunday, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What? What? We might just, because it's a tape show, so we might just have to read the spoilers on the Sunday one and just do
it. It's going to be a 15-minute recap. It's going to be a pre-recorded recap.
We'll just
squeeze us in on a Monday, like, here you go, your collision. Bing, bang, bong. Thank you so much.
See you, bye. Make sure to get your super chats in, guys. Make sure to get those upper chats in. Best way and the only guaranteed way to get your comment read on the show tonight. Like Alexander Fitzgerald, who says, where is Roosh? I can't be a Collider / Sicko without Roosh. Well, we did find out on the show tonight we will be getting LFI next week as they take on Hologram and Commander in a match that is guaranteed to slap. I believe that one is going to be on Sunday. I believe they said that one is going to be on Sunday. So set your clock, set your time whenever that show gets underway Sunday night. Our first match tonight was Ricochet versus Katsuyori Shibata in the International Championship Eliminator Tournament. This was the one that Ricochet did take tonight, Iridian. Some nefarious tactics. I did like the back elbow, double leg hook, takedown combo, rolled him up. And it's such a subtle little thing, right? Because Ricochet used his feet up on the rope to get the leverage and get the pinfall.
Yeah.
99 times out of 100, a wrestler will put the feet on the ropes from jump, right? And just hope that the referee doesn't see it, or the referee has to play, pretend like he's an idiot and he doesn't see it for 3 seconds. Ricochet waited until the last possible second to put his feet on the ropes and put the leverage on. Like, he saw that the referee's eyes were down and focused on the shoulders, and he took advantage of the situation. It was such a little thing, but I appreciate Ricochet for waiting until that final second and just adding to the victory there. For me, that meant a lot. It may have seemed like a minor thing. For me, I like that a lot. That was smart ring tactics on his part.
Yeah, and that was the moment when I yelled. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was like, you cheater. How dare you, sir? I was like, I mean, of course, they had an impressive match. It was fun. There was moments where Shibata was like slapping him on top of his head. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, sir, disrespectful, first of all. But they were both kind of disrespectful. So I was here for it. But yeah, like you said, Ricochet really waited till the last possible second to put his feet up on that rope so the referee wouldn't catch him. And I don't know if I'm upset or just want to tell him that was very well played, because I was impressed. Angry, but impressed.
Did they get the right winner in this one, Cresta?
Unfortunately for us, the reign of ball terror will continue. I will say, in the opener, Katsuyori took the time on his translator to say, shut up, bald man, which is fantastic. And it led into him putting the palm into the claw on his bald head. After the high school tactics of you can't touch me.
That's crazy.
I like that they're playing into this bald madness, and it's fantastic. Ricochet's a menace. And I love this for him. He signed under the Jeff Jarrett tree of working. So go Ricochet.
Again, I still think, and I'll continue to say this on every show that I'm on where we're talking about Ricochet, I still think it's absolutely incredible that he had to leave WWE to do his best character work. Right.
And he let him do this on WWE.
I know. It's amazing, though, because it's like you think, like, okay, he's coming over to AEW to be Ricochet, right? He's just going to come out here and he's going to have the banger matches, bell to bell. He's going to get to wrestle more than 3 minutes, right? Like, he's not just going to be there to put over the younger talent and things like that. And he's actually going to get to thrive in the ring. And while he is doing that, he's also thriving as a character, which is not something that I anticipated. Like, give Tony Khan credit. He has let Ricochet kind of find his groove and develop, and this just I don't know, this bald bastard personality thing that he's got going on.
Bald bastard.
It works for him. He's so good at it.
You're right. No, honestly, there needs to be a bald faction and he needs to be in it. Him and Stokely Hathaway would be the best thing and the worst thing on AEW television. Book it. It's yours, Tony.
The Pinheads. Perfect.
Don Callis, another bald bastard.
No, he really is a bald bastard. I just said that because I couldn't think of another word in the moment. We had multiple segments tonight with the murder machines. The first one was those gentlemen and Mark Davis. They were shown beating up a bunch of enhancement talents backstage. And they played the hits on this one. Brian Cage doing his Who Better, Lance Archer dropping and Everybody Dies. And then we move on to one of the segments of the night for me. It's always going to be one of the segments of the night, which was timeless Toni Storm after a very, very busy day in Las Vegas. She said after hitting all the slots and making Wayne Newton scream Donkashane, she is ready to collide with Megan Bain following the blindside attack on Wednesday. Toni says she can't wait to see what Bain is capable of when she is staring Toni Storm in the face. Now, this was obviously some foreshadowing to what we would see later on in the night. But, man, you want to talk about a match made in heaven, Heridian? It is Toni Storm and the city of Las Vegas. Like, that's like an actual, like, bit that I want to see now.
Oh, absolutely. We need to have little short films on it. You know, I think we could really squeeze a lot out of Toni just being in Las Vegas. And this promo that she cut, amazing. I think that that final match, whenever it happens, of Megan Bain versus Toni, they're pushing it. They're pushing Megan. I'm absolutely here for it. She did some great work tonight. I know we're going to talk about it later, but man, am I impressed. And I'm continuing to be impressed by Toni because I feel like with Toni, it's like, well, what more can she give? And then she gives you more. So just props to her. She was great.
What did you think of this one, Krista?
I don't have to think. This was amazing. My favorite line from this was she called Megan Bain a hammerhead shark and she said, I'm ready to make fish stew and go to prison for the second time. The second time
for animal cruelty.
The second time. At the end, it got really awkward and she's like, I don't care. You're going to take this. Toni Storm is a gem. And who said kayfabe is dead?
Yeah. We do have a, excuse me, real quick. I'm about to sneeze. Hang on.
Get it out. It don't pay rent.
I'm just fighting it off. Just fighting it off. Okay. We did get a super chat in from Rafael Garcia. Always appreciate it. I was watching Trev Shibata and heard Nigel, and I went to YouTube to verify how come we have never gotten Nigel versus Shibata. That feels like a crime. Hey, it ain't too late. Nigel can still throw down. All right. Just, hey, go online and get a hashtag going. That's honestly the best. Or just, you know, at Tony Khan, he might be like, yeah, why haven't we gotten that? And he'll just figure out a way to get the job done. We had Powerhouse Hobbs squash Griff Garrison. Poor Griff.
I forgot he worked there. I don't mean to be mean, but I forgot he worked there.
Well, God, the last time we saw him on Collision was what? During the Cope Open? The Cope Open Challenge?
Like, yeah, he was like the second competitor.
I don't know why I remembered that. Probably because I had the same thought. Like, man, when was the last time I saw Griff Garrison on AEW TV? He had a much better showing against Adam Copeland than he did against Powerhouse Hobbs. Like, this was one of those blink and it's over matches. There was more shenanigans afterwards when the frat house surrounded Hobbs. And then the Outrunners just ran down to the ring to help. Did anybody else not see the Outrunners come down to the ring? Because, like, they did that, like, full scope pan and I'm like, okay, well, where are they? And I'm like, oh shit, they're in the ring already. Like, I don't know how I completely missed them outrun by me.
Rickaford.
Not Rickaford.
what did you think of the this whole ordeal? This is one of those classic Collision squash matches. There's not really much to say about it.
Honestly, I was excited to see Griff. I was like, oh my God, not Jungle Boy. He's in the ring right now.
That's
Timu Jungle Boy.
I was like, sir, we've literally gone 32 years without seeing you. And what really shocked me is that he was taller than Powerhouse Hobbs. So I was like, oh, this is a grown man in the ring. Okay, my apologies, sir, Jungle Man. The match was about, you know, 2 minutes long, which was a minute longer than I thought it was going to be. But then, you know, they started talking about like the frat house, the frat boys, whatever. I was like, who are these people? What's going on? So we need to be seeing more of Griff on Collision, because we used to see him a lot backstage when the Young Bucks were doing being the Elite on YouTube. But now that that's not happening, we really don't see him unless you're watching Ring of Honor, which pisses me off because you can only watch Ring of Honor talent and Ring of Honor. And I get it. Brand exclusivity, right? But that's a whole nother topic. But Griff, shout outs to you. You did great in that minute that you were in the ring tonight, even though you didn't win.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's we got Jungle Boy at home.
Stop. You're killing me tonight, Rick. This match was fine. If I'm not mistaken, the frat bros, they used to be Bear Mountain, but then one of the guys from Bear Mountain got let go. So
I do remember. Yes. Okay.
I think that's why this is.
That makes sense.
As far as the Outrunners come out, they tried to do their intro where they hit the 90s and then they were just in the ring. I also don't like that they didn't include Will Hobbs and the son of a bitch. But this is a 3-on-1 and yikes. If I am the frat bros, I'm going to Tony Khan. I just want to talk, please. How come all three of us lost?
Oh, we got Lexi Nair interviewing Thunder Rosa backstage, who was in the middle of a very fiery promo that was targeting Megan Bain, her opponent tonight, and the lack of respect that she has shown the entire AEW women's locker room. No, she didn't get to finish. Megan Bain kicked the crap out of her backstage.
That was crazy.
Just jumped her mid-sentence and just gave her a shot to the ribs and left the former women's champ just writhing in pain. Did anybody for a half second think we weren't going to be getting this match later tonight with this segment here? I'm like, don't you freaking do it, TK. Don't you dare.
I truly did. I was like, oh man, she really hurt her that bad. Lexi did her best acting. Lexi, you should get an award tonight. She was like, oh my God, somebody help. Somebody. And I was like, yes, please. Somebody get in there and help. But Thunder Rosa saying that she has bigger ovaries than Megan's brain cells was wild. I don't know if she thought about that all day. The gasp that I gasped was insane.
That was a Toni Storm line. Like, that was her channeling her inner Storm on that one.
But it was so good. My only complaint, two complaints, actually. How you didn't see Megan Bain coming, because she's literally 9 feet tall. And number two, when she pump kicked you, you should have said my ovaries. You should have yelled that. That would
first off,
yelled my ovaries.
First off, Cresta, you know you can't see beyond the fourth wall. So she didn't see her coming, right?
She's not looking at the camera. You're right. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. I don't
watch wrestling, to be fair. I've never seen wrestling a day in my life. I'm so sorry.
And also the couches were there. So if, you know, Megan could have, if she would have to come behind, no possible
right.
way to
super,
do that.
Super secret. You're right. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a fraud.
Yeah, that was one of the equivalents of like, I'm looking for so-and-so backstage. Has anybody seen them? And then the camera pans 4 feet to the left and they're standing right there. That was kind of the equivalent.
Megan Bain was like this behind the camera.
All she had to do was put on a hoodie with, like, you know, and put the hood up.
Never with the sunglasses. Yep.
Yep.
Over those been. Big horns that she had. No one would never know.
We had the Battle of the Marks.
This was a Mark ass match.
True.
How are you going to have Mark versus Mark in a wrestling ring? That just seems wrong. But Mark Davis, Mark Briscoe, this would be the, what, third? Was this the third time or the second time? I lost count how many times we saw the Murder Machines tonight. But they did show up to help Mark Davis defeat Mark Briscoe and advance in the International Championship Eliminator Tournament. Briscoe had Davis on the ropes in this one, and he was literally on the ropes getting ready to drop the elbow. And that's when the Murder Machine showed up. Lance Archer distracted the ref. Brian Cage shoved Briscoe off the top rope. Then Davis hit the, I don't know how to pronounce his finisher. I'm tired. The whatever force thing that he hit for the win. I'm exhausted right now.
The pendulum driver from Mark Davis onto Briscoe.
Yeah, it's got a new name now, though. At least Nigel said it. The core, whatever the hell it's called. Iridian, what'd you think of this one?
you know what? I thought that Mark Davis was having a good match. I thought he could have won this one on his own. But here comes Lance Archer. Never thought I'd start complaining about Lance Archer and him killing everybody. But we didn't need that many segments, like you said, with the murder machines, murder hawk machines, the double M's tonight.
That's thinking, baby. That's how much fun. That's thinking, baby. That's
a new name. But, you know, it felt like everybody was getting paid by appearance tonight. And they're like, we want to get our screen time. So we are going to show up four times tonight. And that's what it felt like.
I think it was only three. I think it was only three. But yeah, I mean, okay, like before we jump, because like, okay. The whole thing with the murder machines tonight, I'm just sitting here. I'm like, okay, we get it. We get it, right? Because it's like they beat up the four dudes backstage. Mm-hmm. They help Mark Davis win his match. They go to a commercial break. Then we come back.
That was
and they're beating up the same four
That's
dudes
so
that
they beat up
earlier. And then they're like, oh, it's a 4-on-2 match. And we have just pummeled these. We have been literally beating these guys up for a half hour. Oh, ring the bell. We're going to drop these four dudes, or at least the last one who's still breathing at this point, and we're just going to pin. Like, I don't know what the whole point of the – it was like I was watching a Tarantino film tonight. It was like they gave me the ending first, and then the beginning, and then the middle, and then that was it. It was done. It was just a weird order of events that they did tonight, Cresta.
Well, I want to formally petition and change the name from Murder Machines to Meat Marauders, because that's what they were doing. That's what they were doing. Right. They were you beat up these guys for three segments straight. You went out to help somebody else and then came back to beat up these same men. Also, I would like to say it kind of warms my heart that Mark Briscoe, all of his moves are named after some sort of chicken, whatever, and Popeye should sponsor him. Him specifically. That's just me. I don't know, man. The Meat Marauders were all over it tonight. I do agree with the radio. This was paid by appearance. They were getting their money's worth on this fine evening. I don't know why they had to cheat here. Mark Davis could have won on his own. And also I want to point out with the chat, Nigel McGuinness was on one this match. And Mark Davis had him in a trance. He said this man was Dumpzilla. And I'm like, Nigel McGuinness, that's something you say for your Twitch chat, sir. Like, so yeah, Nigel McGuinness, he really made this show tonight a special place in my heart, being a menace on commentary.
Make sure to get your super chats in. Make sure to get your humper chats in. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air. Speaking of paid by appearance, the murder machines, after they had destroyed the four and I wish I could call them something other than the enhancement talents. They didn't even get introduced. They
Not
didn't even flash their names on the screen tonight. If anybody recognized any of these dudes as they were, you know, being slaughtered, let us know. We'll shout them out, because hopefully they got paid handsomely for this ass beating tonight. But we have Mark Briscoe then run down for his second appearance of the night with a chair to try to get revenge. And then Powerhouse Hobbs came down afterwards. So Hobbs is just busy saving everybody's ass tonight. All four of those men fought to the backstage area. Yeah. I did think the show picked up a little bit here when we had Swerve Strickland come out for his segment tonight. I thought this was a really strong promo from him tonight. No surprise. He's always really good behind the mic. Gave Ricochet some credit for the great fight that he had at Revolution. Said if he ever wanted to step to him again, he would gladly slap his bald ass head one more time. So again, I'm with you guys. I like that this has become a thing as far as Ricochet is concerned. Swerve then turned his attention to Jon Moxley and Adam Copeland, who of course will be facing each other for the AEW World title this Wednesday on Dynamite. Called Cope a legend. Said if he ends up standing in the way of the future of AEW, he'll have no problem mowing him down. Then as he turned his focus on the reigning champion, Jon Moxley, and how much of a maniac he is, one of the lines he dropped tonight I really appreciated, where he said, you got to send a maniac to catch a maniac. I do believe that that was a Demolition Man reference, that old Sly Stallone film, so I appreciate him for that one. But as he's getting ready to close it out and do his Who's House routine, Moxley sneaks into the ring and strikes him with a damn crowbar. Thought it was a tire iron at first. It was a crowbar to the knee. And then he gave him a stomp, took a page out of Seth Rollins' playbook, and stomped his busted eardrum right into the ring before pulling a little bitch move and running out to the outside to cut a promo on Adam Copeland ahead of their match on Wednesday. Iridia, what was your reaction to everything that happened between Swerve and Moxley tonight?
Yeah, this is the part of the show where I'm going to bring up Wheeler Yuta, as I usually do. So this was the opportunity for them to really build up Yuta as a crazy person, because he keeps going back to the Death Riders. If you're going to be mentored by Mox, you got to be a little crazy. And you could have been building him to be a type of maniac. And they're going to have this fight in Philadelphia, where Wheeler Yuta is from. So you easily could have played him or put him in a match against Swerve to build up for that match against Mox. Mind you, if you wanted to build up Swerve, you didn't have to have Yuta get the win, because we know that Yuta doesn't get the win. But they could have been something along those lines. But I think that was a disservice that they did to Wheeler Yuta. But the match, the night did start picking up once Swerve was out there. And I was like, thank God, because it was not going that great for the first couple minutes of Collision. But that's just what I'm thinking. What do you think, Cresta?
I know, I agree. This was a really good promo. And Swerve, Nana brings something to him, but him without Nana was kind of just, this is me and you. I will also double down and say, this is the exact moment again where I was like, yo, AEW security sucks. How did Mox get past that? The crowd in the back was like, look, I noticed, because of the crowd noticing. So AEW locker room was like the NXT parking lot. It's dangerous out there. It's treacherous. Security is not going to help you. Ruptured eardrum, does that factor into him being able to wrestle? Are we going to get Swerve out for some time? I kind of am ready for Mox to drop the title. Mm-hmm. If this leads into a three-way, I don't mind. But as long as it's not a schmoz, like the end of Revolution was. That's my hope. I want something clean.
So it's a street fight on Wednesday. I feel like you can't screw that up, right? So you no longer have Christian to throw the contract. I feel like we are definitely getting a winner on Wednesday. And since it's a street fight and there are no rules and anything goes, you'll probably get, you know, Wheeler Yuta getting involved again, or Jay White getting involved again. I'm expecting the most overbooked, shenanigan filled street fight that we're going to get. I do expect John Moxley to win. I think tonight kind of telegraphed it, to be honest with you. The fact that John is already starting in on Swerve tells me that's tonight was the true start of a 3-week build here, because we're not that far out. Mm-hmm. We're not far out at all from Dynasty. But would you guys make the title switch at Dynasty and go with Swerve on this one?
Absolutely. I was ready for a title switch at Revolution. I was like, all right, Christian, here we go. Let's go. Something's happening. And then nothing happened. And I was kind of disappointed.
No, I agree. Like, I think the Death Rider stuff has been so up and down for me, but the constant critique, even from other wrestlers, you come out here, you ramble on, you hang out in the back in a boiler room like a creep. I'm kind of over it. I don't mind it when it's up, but it's so up, far and few in between. I think this would be a great time for Mox to get a refresher. There's an argument to be made that Kazuchika, Omega, Ospreay, Jay White, a bunch of other people could be in the main event scene right now. There are far more interesting stories. And I think Mox is someone who's also guilty of not taking time off. So I think that at this point, I kind of don't care if it's Will or Yuta. I want something different. I want something different. If it's Will or Yuta, I would love to see how that dynamic would play out. What do you mean you want it over me? It could be Mama Wayne. I just want something different.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people who share that sentiment, honestly, at this point. Anybody who's online, anybody who watches AEW, the people at the shows, I think they're ready for a pivot and a switch. If, you know, it'll be interesting to see if Tony Khan goes that direction, or if he stays steadfast with what they got going on with the Death Riders. Remember, John Moxley did take a fair amount of time off before he came back to start this whole Death Riders routine. If he does drop the title,
about that, you're right.
Yeah, if he does drop the title to Swerve, which would not be a bad pivot, right? Because, like, I think the whole beginning of this story arc was, like, okay, we're here, this is our company, and it was going to be kind of like an NWO, WCW kind of situation where it's AEW versus the Death Riders, right? And you need you wanted like the ultimate flag bearer kind of guy to take the title off of Moxley ultimately. And I think originally that was going to be Darby. But with Darby out, climbing Mount Everest and doing all that stuff, it's like, okay, are you going to wait? Are you going to wait until Darby is back? Or could you go with another guy who proudly wears AEW across his chest in Swerve Strickland? I think maybe you go with Swerve on this one. I think a lot of people are ready for that. Ten Ruse is one of them saying Swerve needs to win a dynasty. Kingston, you are missed. Eddie Kingston.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This Death Rider stuff would have been done. Eddie Kingston would have got them all.
And I think that also plays a factor into it of like, maybe they had so many of these plans for the Death Riders and they were going to have so many of these matches. And then one of the biggest haters that they were going to have was going to be Eddie Kingston, and Eddie Kingston is out. Yeah. And I mean, shout outs to him because he's the ultimate unk. We were talking about this last week. He's the head of the unks for the unk off. So we'll see when he comes back.
Unk off. Let me catch you up real quick. Last week was a very uncle episode, but not any old uncle, the upper old uncles. Like, you're not 60 yet, but you're like 55. So we're like, not these cats fighting. So we were like, if there was a battle royale of unks, who would you put in there? And Eddie Kingston is, obviously you got to fight him for the unk championship, mm-hmm. but an unk would be like Cope. Cope is an unk. Mm-hmm. FTR, specifically FTR Bald, is an unk. Not to be confused with an uncle, because Swerve could be an uncle. He's not quite a young unk. Mm-hmm. Prince Nana is an unk. MVP is an unk.
Right. Like the dudes who wear polo shirts to go bowling on a Saturday night. Those guys. Yeah, I got
the guy who is making your lunch, not the lunch, on the grill with the Birkenstocks with the ash on the ankle. That's an unk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Got it. Maybe just workshop that title, unk off.
Who would you put in the unk off, Rick? Who would you say from AEW putting the unk off?
Jesus. There's so many options, honestly. Mm-hmm. Last I think I said like Jay Lethal, definitely an unk.
Dustin Rhodes. Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett is not Jeff Jarrett. Dustin Rhodes is definitely an unk.
Dustin Rhodes, for sure. For sure. We got another one from Ten Ruse saying, I miss Roosh and Juice. Cresta, Iridian, you just amazing. And I'm here.
You're amazing too, Rick.
You're amazing, Rick.
And another one from Ten Ruse, appreciated saying, weird, we at the point we just want to see the damn belt.
True, honestly. I'm tired of the whatever that is, a briefcase, the file holder, whatever it is.
Thunder Rosa was checked on backstage. She says she ain't gonna let no doctor stop her from competing tonight. So the match is on. At that point, I was like, okay, cool. Thank God we're still getting our one women's match of the night. But before that, we had a trios match. Hologram and Top Flight defeated Shane Taylor Promotions in a trios match. Dante Martin got the pin on Carly Bravo after they hit a pretty nice looking dropkick German suplex combo. You had the crew who were watching this one from the top of the stage. Meantime, we had Harley Graham backstage watching this matchup and then had a stare down with the Beast Mortos. There was a lot going on here, a lot to digest in this one, Iridian.
I feel like Beast Mortos is going to come back next week and actually fight Hologram because he was like, you were staring me down in the hall.
That's what I was thinking too.
He's going to be so upset because he's actually going to think that Harley Graham and Hologram are the same person.
Are they not?
I'm excited for... Listen, the way Nigel was talking on commentary, he was like, oh my God, and then Harley Graham is just over here. And I said, wait a minute, Nigel. You're going to confuse the people because that is not what's happening right now. But that was so funny. Nigel on commentary tonight, 10 out of 10. But honestly, this match for me was very reserved. I thought it was going to, I was like, okay, I got my popcorn. I'm ready. This is going to be crazy shenanigans. And I'm like, oh, we're going to get more stuff because Lio Rush and Action Andretti are at the top of the ramp. And then it was kind of settle. So I was like, oh, okay, this is fine, but not what I expected.
A little more chill.
It was a great match. I thought that ending, that double team to get that pin from Top Flight was beautiful. Probably my favorite moment of the night. Really good work from them. I like seeing them.
I do have one quick question, Cresta.
Yeah.
Why are the crew trying to make those spike jackets a thing?
I don't know what in the Bowser Koopa show was going on up there. I wrote Bowser. I wrote Lakitu when he throws those little spiny things and they come. I don't know. Maybe they want to be club kids. Look it up if you don't know who those are. Listen, it's kind of giving. Remember in Mean Girls, they said, stop trying to make fetch a thing. It's not going to work.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Yeah.
That's what I, yeah.
Why are we trying to make this a thing?
They're keeping jackets because they did a red carpet the other day with those jackets on. And I said, please be so serious right now.
I will say it's a very well-made Koopa shell. It was very well with the little vest too. It was, velvet too.
At least they toned it down. Cause like when they first like wore them in Cincinnati for, I think it was the Maximum Carnage Collision that they showed up on, and they had like the really puffed up red ones. I'm just like, please stop. Like whoa. It was a little too much.
I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it. I get it. You're trying to be heels, but okay, stop. So at least they've toned it down.
Well, this match itself, I agree with what Iridian said. It was very reserved for what it could be. But that being said, I don't understand why they were sitting at the top of the ramp. I kind of feel bad for Shane Tate. I'm sorry?
4 feet away.
Yeah, yes. Like, and they didn't even get involved. You could have been on commentary for all of that. You know what I mean? There was one part of the match where Sean Dean yells to Dante Martin, got you, seemingly drops him, and then Dante yells at, no, you don't. that was 10 out of 10 for me. I would like for Shane Taylor Promotions to get a win. But I know that only happens on Ring of Honor. But every time I see them, they're really, really like a show out. Also, I want to know what's going on in the tag division and why Top Flight are not in the conversation. And where's Private Party?
They were at Hog tonight.
That's true. I would have gone, but you know.
Work.
The one brain cell is working overtime, ladies.
Alexander, appreciate you. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Alexander. Thank you. We had Megan Bain did defeat Thunder Rosa. Lamora Mora put up a valiant effort. She just wasn't gonna overcome Bain. I mean, it was a nice out, I think, that they gave Thunder Rosa for this one, but she got her ass kicked. Megan Bain impressive. Just very, very impressive. Hit a Fates Descent on the stage, and then another one in the ring to pick up the win. Let's focus on the match first, because I think Megan Bain is like, she has fully captured my attention. I am all in on her. I think she is a complete and total package, and she is she's not. Not impressed me, if that makes any sense, since she showed up again in Cincinnati in the Women's Casino Gauntlet match. Rinny, what did you think of this one?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Like you said, it was not an easy out for Thunder, but, you know, she did come out with her ribs, you know, all like patched up. And I was like, all right, I guess we're starting off like this. And I was very scared for her. We've all seen Megan in the ring. Like, we know that that's a big girl. Love it. 10 out of 10. She is such a powerhouse. I do think that she's an asset to the women's division. And I love that they're using her more, that they're not scared to push her right to Tony to be like, even if she doesn't win the title, like, we have people here on the roster that we can use and make stars out of. So I'm really glad that now that she's back in AEW, that they're really using her to this potential. But man, Megan was not letting up. And I was like, girl, you do you, because I was a little scared.
Yeah, no, I love how they are utilizing her so far and putting her in, like, look, putting her in a major program with Thunder Rosa right off the bat. First person you're working with, Thunder Rosa. Oh, and Chris Statlander, by the way, which we're going to get those two again on Wednesday, and I will be firmly seated on my damn couch for that one. And then, yeah, right off the bat, here's Toni Storm going head to head with Tony, which is an interesting dynamic in and of itself, because from a character work standpoint, Tony can carry that all on her own. And all Megan has to do is just be this imposing physical force that she is, Krista.
No, absolutely. Cause even this match, at first I was like, okay, Thunder Rosa, the two shotgun drop kicks to get her into the corner, followed up by the Pele. Okay, I see you. But then after that, Thunder Rosa just started screaming. I was like, yo, throw the goddamn towel in, please, please, just yo. And like every time I tried to write something, I had to look up because all I'm hearing is Thunder Rosa screaming for her mother. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Peggy Bayne over in a big way tonight. Yes.
I love Thunder Rosa. So for, like you said, so for you, Megan Bain, who just got here, to be going against Thunder Rosa and not just beating her the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. Just keep up this momentum. Like you said, straight to Tony, even if she doesn't win. I know her versus Statlander, big meaty women slapping meat. You eventually versus Willow Nightingale could feed children for centuries. I love a big meat match. I love equality. And nothing says equality like two women the size of Statue of Liberty slapping the bricks off of each other.
I'm sold. After the match was over, Bayne was not done inflicting punishment. She locked Thunder in the Argentine backbreaker. But we had Tony come down to attempt to make the save. A couple of blows here, straight back and forth. And then Tony gave her the big headbutt. Did not even phase this woman. And I loved how she took it and she just stood there. And then she slowly turned her head back. Like, bitch, do you know who I am? That was not going to do a damn thing. And then she picks up Tony and drops her with the face descent. And then we had Chris Statlander come out to check on Thunder Rosa. And then obviously the whole stare down and set up the match on Wednesday. But just the fact that Tony comes out and she immediately just gets dropped. Like, again, just immediate threat. You immediately know the threat that Megan Bayne is to Toni Storm. Like, she just came into this 18-month arc with Mariah May, went through hell, literal hell, to where they were taping broken glass to their hands. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, Toni ain't been through nothing yet.
Yeah. No, absolutely. She laid Toni out. And it was crazy because Megan left because Megan wanted to.
Yes.
She easily could have stayed in the ring to continue to beat up Toni. She could have beat up Chris and Thunder Rosa while she was there. But she's like, you know what? That's it. I'm tired. I'm done for the night. Let's go. I don't need to be out here. And I was like, girl, respect. Because when she was going to pin Thunder Rosa, she was like, bow down. Like, the last thing, that's what she said before she pinned her. And I tweeted about it. I was like, you don't have to tell me twice, ma'am.
I retweeted you. Yeah.
I'm out. I'm there. Thank you.
I live. Honestly, too, I think it is high time for AEW to have a menace on the women's roster. This could have been Marina Shafir, but for whatever reason, you didn't do it. I'm okay with it being Megan Bayne. This could have even been Evil Willow Nightingale. Evil Statlander. Jesus Christ, out of stroke. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's about time you had somebody be this menace to the women's roster. What are you going to do? You literally can't beat me up because I'm going to pick you up and put you down.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see. I'm assuming Toni wins, right? Like, whenever that match happens, I'm assuming Toni wins. I mean, what a hell of a statement it would be if you just had Megan Bayne come in and just halt what we all expect is going to be a lengthy run with the AEW Women's Championship for Toni Storm. And you could sign Ten Ruza up for that. We'll always say it. Bayne is her. Give her the titles. You know what, though? I'll say this much. If Bayne isn't the one who beats Toni Storm, Bayne could be the one who beats Mercedes Moné. That would be a great run.
Way, I was thinking she does beat Toni Storm. This way, Toni Storm doesn't have to lose to Mercedes, and then Mercedes loses to whoever, and then beats Megan Bayne.
Or we could give two titles to Megan.
You hooping, right? You cooking.
Tony's like, damn it, I can't give Stephanie Vaquer two titles, so I'll give them to Megan Bayne. We had Andrade's Gaming. That's how I'm going to say it. Cresta is a heel. I get it.
I'm not a heel. I'm just simply corporate Cresta.
There we go. And Ten Ruza again, who's on fire with the super chats. Thank you so much. Who is joining Deonna and Taya? Get that started.
That's what I want to know. I want to know who, because these two girls, I am a Deonna stan, and I've seen what Taya can do and what they're doing now.
And you know what? With that chat, I think that you would really benefit from probably getting one of the younger stars, maybe like an Anna Jay. there, I think it could really add something to that, to that group of women. But what's happening? We, you know, we were starting off, you know, sometimes Collision, you would get the women's match in the first hour. We get two matches sometimes, and now we're back to one match.
Back to 9:20, baby.
This is not fair, Tony Khan.
I mean, at least it was good. I mean,
it
like
was right, great. Look, it was great. Yeah, it was great.
It was a match that had my attention. There was a lot that happened, and obviously you got the AEW Women's Champion on the show and everything like that. So, like, again, I'm not gonna nitpick tonight. We got multiple women's segments, featured Thunder Rosa, featured Megan Bain, featured Chris Statlander and Toni Storm. Like, I'm not gonna complain about where we're at tonight.
Look at the latest super chat. That's
need Bain to squash Max Caster in his open challenge. Pardon my French. It's almost 11 o'clock, but fuck and yes, we do. Oh, my.
Write that down. God. Write that down.
TK, please just.
Alex is hooping
with it in my veins. Please.
I would be so sports entertained. Ew.
That would be incredible to watch. Incredible.
And no one would bat an eye. No one would bat an eye.
He would retire. He'd be like, that was enough for me. Thank you.
I mean, that would be like Rhea wrestling Dom, right? Like that's, you know, that would be
wrestling Dom. That's crazy.
She did. Didn't she put him in the Riptide at one WrestleMania as he deserved in his stupid little mustache?
Yeah. But they never actually faced each other. Right. Like that's what I'm saying.
Early days. Yeah. The early days.
Like, cause Megan Bain is kind of in that sense that same mold where I look at her and I go, she could whoop half the men's roster's ass. Right.
Come on now.
I feel the same way about Rhea Ripley. I'm just sitting here and I'm like, she believable. Like, I believe she whooped my ass. Rhea Ripley and Megan Bain. They're both cut from that same kind of mold.
You know, since we're talking a little bit about WWE right now, there was one point in the match where Megan was fighting, and I was like, Megan and Charlotte would absolutely kill. I was just like, man, fantasy booking, of course, but I was
like, forbidden door, open up. That you did something there. You did something there to my brain. You just you licked it. You did something.
The ASMR of wrestling.
Charlotte Flair versus Megan Bain would absolutely be one of those things. And if Charlotte Flair cares, that match would be one of the best matches we've ever seen in women's wrestling history.
I need a sip of water after this.
I know. Like, why can't we all just get along in the sake of pro wrestling? Listen, Paul, you doing things differently. Tony, you doing things differently. What if you just held space for each other?
Honestly, that's what I thought Forbidden Door would evolve to. There's still time. There's still time, right? Who's to say in the next couple years that we don't start adding TNA people, NXT people, and then eventually get to SmackDown and Raw? What wrestling could be, right? But man, that's just fun to speculate, to write down in our little journals about it.
Not our little journals.
Look, we all know the negotiations for that would just absolutely fall apart when Triple H tries to book Ricky Starks and Alistair
Richard Black. Ricky
Saints. Sorry, old habits die hard. But, you know, they're trying to do that. And then Tony Kenner's like, all right, well, I'm going to book Mercedes Moné and I'm going to book John on this show and I'm going to book Copeland. And it's like all like the old people, like just trading back and forth. All the people who had been on both rosters, you know that thing that it's just going to break the F down. Our final match, the main event tonight, very, very good tag team match. FTR defeating the Undisputed Kingdom. I thought this was a very good back and forth tag team match. Saw each team take each other's best shots. In the end, FTR were able to isolate Roderick Strong and take him out with a shatter machine. Of course, naturally, that happened about 60 seconds after I sent a message to the group that said, oh, this match is definitely ending in a draw. Because that's what they were really honing in on.
Yeah.
They made sure to say, hey, we're going to go late just, you know, to get the full 20 minutes if we need it. And I'm like, don't you threaten me, Tony Schiavone, first of all. All right. We don't need to go a second past 10 o'clock. Okay. But they didn't do it. They get the win. Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia were on commentary for this match. Mm-hmm. Just bickering back and forth at one another and playing cheerleader for their boys. They checked on their friends after this match, shook hands ahead of their TNT title match on Wednesday. But FTR refused to shake the hands of Kyle and Roddy. I thought that was very interesting, Iridian.
That was disrespectful. First of all, FTR, I already don't like you.
No.
It was so rude. It was so rude. And also what pissed me off during this match was the fact that the ref did not see the tag from Kyle. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. You got to go back. I said, what is going on here? What kind of tag match is this? FTR, I thought you liked rules. What's going on? So, yeah, I did not appreciate that. And also, I was a fan of Roddy in this match, which is crazy because I don't really say that I'm a fan of Roddy, but I liked him in this match. I thought it was great. And if Danny Garcia, I know how you felt about it, Rick, on commentary before you say anything, I think Danny Garcia, when he retires, would be great at commentary. I thought he did a good job tonight, even though, you know, Tony and Nigel did kind of had to shut them up at some points because Adam and him just kind of kept going back and forth. Mm-hmm. But I thought Danny did a good job. I was entertained. Sports entertained tonight for me.
I have to, I'm a hate on both of y'all because I love FTR. It's about time y'all went heel. Every time you try to do the right thing, someone always got something to say about your title wins. Just be better than me. I agree with him. I would not have stooged myself out. You put your feet on a rope after the fact, not my fault. Also, Daniel Garcia and Adam Cole commentary, maybe because I'm from New York, but that was two New York guys watching sports talking about something, equally hating and equally glazing. Because you got one guy like, yeah, that's why Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly know a million moves. And Daniel Garcia said, it doesn't matter how many moves they own because he can still get beat up. They never won nothing. What you won? You ain't never won nothing. I was living. I was paying attention more to commentary. These two guys just bickering. And like, if Nigel and Tony got to tell you to calm down, you know you do it too much. Nigel, of all people, Mr. Talking About Man Titties in the first match, Nigel's telling you to relax. I had a good time with everything but the match itself. I'm not going to hold you. All my notes are from commentary. All my notes are from commentary.
Commentary did so good. And I'm telling you, having four people on commentary can get a little chaotic, which is what it was tonight.
Yeah.
But it was still fun. And
it was funny as hell.
The fact that at one point in the match, somebody had an ankle lock on somebody. And then Danny's like, oh, Adam, I know you've been in an ankle lock. I know, you know what that feels like.
That was your two cousins watching wrestling. You can't beat me. I bet you I could beat you up. You can't beat me up. I'll beat you up. Yo, that's what it was. Maybe that's what I live for. I got two brothers. That's definitely what it was.
I thought a lot of the lines they traded back and forth were just cringe. Like, I honestly, I wasn't here for it. I wasn't here for, oh yeah, Adam, I know you know what an ankle lock feels like. What? That's the best you got? That's the best you, okay. No, I'm sorry. There was just a lot of the lines that I just thought were cringe.
You were looking for sports intelligence.
Yes. Rick was watching the match, okay?
I'm just sitting here and I'm like, oh God. Maybe it's, I don't know. Like, I know it's hard on a television show like this, right, to do the kind of shit talking that guys really would do in like a closed door setting, or you're sitting on the couch playing video games or something like that. I don't know. This was just a little too PG for me, I guess. I would have liked to see him ramp it up a little bit. We had Tenruza say, I need Pamela in AEW, Japan, UK, and Mexico. That ain't going to happen anytime soon. She just signed a contract extension.
She's very happy. She's very happy.
Yes, she is. She's getting ready. She's doing a program with Roxanne. She's doing.
Oh yeah.
And last one from Tenruza. Love how Rick just sits back with the two woman trip going on. I mean, I ain't gonna interject. They want to pop off. Let them pop off.
Rick is Will Hobbs, and me and Iridia are like, you son of a bitch. This is Rick in the back.
And that is being the outrunners in the situation.
I know where my place is. I know when I need.
What's going to be the outrunners, Iridian?
Yes.
Who wins the TNT championship match on Wednesday?
Huh?
Who wins the TNT title match on Wednesday?
Oh, Adam Cole. I was like, who has it? I have to think about it. Adam Cole, Danny Garcia. Mm-hmm. I'm biased, so I'm going to say Danny Garcia. However, I felt like he kept saying, you ain't never won nothing a little bit too hard. Yeah. I think he about to win something.
Well, maybe, but the way that FTR was acting tonight, I don't know. I think maybe Danny, they might help out Danny.
But look at how Danny acted at the end when they were like, I ain't shaking your hand. And Dan's like, hey, yo, come on. He's like, I, yikes. So I don't know. They might help him cheat. And Dan be like, yo, what the? But that would be really funny that Adam Cole still ain't win nothing.
I feel like, man, I feel like Daniel Garcia about to get the private party treatment.
I do too. I do too. I do too. But it'd be really funny. Tony Khan has the opportunity to do something really funny right now.
Just a gut feeling. You know, now, more often than not, my gut feelings are wrong with AEW. So take that with a grain of salt.
You know what's so crazy about these championships? You know, with Danny Garcia, really strong Ring of Honor pure champion. But then you give him a different title and it's not the same kind of story. So it's just interesting to see how they play off of that. But yeah, you're right. Maybe Adam Cole could win. I mean, I wouldn't hate it. I love Adam Cole. I think he needs more to do. Absolutely. And then maybe this could be the start of really great championship matches between Adam Cole and a whole bunch of other people on the roster, because there's only so many people Danny has fought. Like, I feel like I've seen it, a lot of it.
Yeah, I think this could actually be, again, if they're going to do it, they need to do it in a sense to fire up the TNT title, period. Just because, like, they put it on Danny and it, like, almost immediately he took a backseat with it. Like, he's been involved in trios matches. He's been, you know, doing everything but defending the TNT title or having a mainstay program with the TNT championship. So I wouldn't mind if Adam won it and then maybe they pull like a Charlotte Mercedes type situation where they trade it back and forth a few times. Like I would not honestly hate that if they just fought over the belt for the summer and kind of heated that up and really made that the focus of Daniel Garcia and have him lose it and then win it back at Dynasty. And then maybe they can trade it back and forth, moving forward. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't have a good feeling for him on Wednesday. We'll see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. Ridian, what you got going on? Where can people follow you and all that stuff?
Well, you guys can follow me on all my social media, Ridian_Fiero. I'm on Instagram, on Twitter, X, Blue Sky, TikTok, literally everything. I have it. And don't forget to go to subscribe to my YouTube channel because I am going to go to WrestleMania. I'm going to have the vlogs up. You're going to see everything that's going on. C2E2 is coming up. So Takeshita is going to be there. Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be there. So it's going to be a great time. 10 out of 10. Follow me at Rest Friends. That's WREST Friends. Cresta, where can our beautiful followers, friends, colliders, find you on all your social media?
I was about to blow my nose, so that's why I came up like, oh, I'll do that after. I will do that after. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Cresta Star, and you can find me anywhere your fingers can type at Cresta Star, including places like Instagram, places like TikTok, and places like Twitter, where it's Cresta the Star. I'm also on Blue Sky. I interact with everyone. I have a podcast called Slap Grapple Pop. Comes out every Sunday. You should check it out. It's pretty funny, or at least I think it is. I don't know how to edit, so please be kind to me. Besides that, I love you. There's link trees in my bio to everything I just mentioned. Rick, what do you got going on?
One-stop shop is the good old X account. I'm also on Instagram and Blue Sky, and I think Thread still. It's Rick Uccino, a very unique last name. You search that, you're going to find me. I am there. You can also check out my work for Sports Illustrated on the Takedown at SI. And check out the Takedown on SI YouTube channel. Recently dropped an interview with Emily Bett Rickards, the star of Queen of the Ring, ahead of the release. And I'll also have a really special interview coming up next week. Don't want to spoil it, mostly because I want to make sure it actually happens before I get it out there. Tomorrow we will be dropping an interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Our Zach Haydorn had a chance to chat with him, so we're going to be dropping it on appropriately 316 day. So
hell yeah.
What?
Hell anyway. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. And give us a thumbs up, a subscribe here on the Takedown. Follow everybody's YouTube channel.
Everybody.
Follow us here. Give us a thumbs up. Thank you so much. We have no clue what we're doing next week for the basketball thing. We'll let you know. Until then, take care. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly.